Morning. I admit to being a bit nervous. Nerves are a funny thing, aren't they? It's the same nerves that I had when I went for my driving test. 19-year-old, sat there quaking in the seat, ready for the name to be called. Mark, your turn. I failed my driving test. I passed the second time though, so I have passed my test. And interestingly, on my first driving test, I hesitated at green traffic lights. There may be a message in that this morning. I was sat there thinking, actually, the Lord, when He tells you to do something, He wants you to do it and go. Norman said earlier on, if you're here, it may be that you need to go somewhere geographically different than the Wirral. But yes, I hesitated at green lights, and I don't do that anymore. Lord's wonderful, isn't He? Just this morning, just to kind of soak up people's prayers. He's wonderful. The ultimate is that His presence is here, which almost goes beyond any words that we can offer this morning. I can sit in silence and I can just drink in His presence. Some of us can just, you can shut your eyes and just be in this place where this morning you know that the Saviour's here. He's died for you, He's died for me. Wants to take us on even more. One of my biggest things is I do not want to become stale. And with water, which is going to be a theme what I'm going to speak this morning, if it's stale, it just gets stagnant. Smells, it's not going anywhere. And I want to position myself, I trust you do too, that the Lord would just let that wonderful fountain of life flow in and through us. Sorry, Norman, to quote you again, but he does this illustration with his hands, and I've known it since a child. That, isn't it? I think it's like that and out. In and... Sorry, I'm an observer of lots of, you know... But sometimes it's not just your words that you say. It's your actions, isn't it? And it spoke to me as a young child. It's in, out. Sorry, that's a terrible impression. Sorry, Norman. But the Lord's wonderful, isn't He? I've been reading through the book of Isaiah, and I just would like you to turn with me to chapter 35 of Isaiah. It's a wonderful chapter. It's just packed with huge amounts of prophecy. The whole book, there's 66 chapters, which... I can understand why they call it a miniature Bible, because you've got 66 chapters, and then in the Bible you've got 66 books, and it's split up amazingly. And I think I've been reading through the first half of Isaiah, which is from chapter 1 to 39, and it is heavy going. It's judgment. It's what's going to happen to the nations, Judah, Israel, and the surrounding nations. And I've been reading at work in my canteen, just on my phone, reading through the. And I think I've been a bit gloomy at work, because it's serious judgment. But this, and then I came across this chapter 35, and something just welled up in front inside of me. And I said earlier on about the theme of water. There is a theme of water in this, and we've heard it. We've sung a hymn earlier on, which I kept open in my book. And I just want to kind of explore that a little bit. But Isaiah was an incredible prophet. We mentioned about the minor prophets. He was a major prophet. Major. And he majored on salvation. All through it. Great salvation. And prophecy. I think I read that out of the 66 chapters, 17 of them prophesy of the Messiah. So it's pretty much an important book to read. And some bits, if you don't understand it, I don't want to be shot down, but meditate on it and try and think, you know, the Spirit guides us and speaks to us, but there's some bits I've been reading at work in my canteen there, thinking, oof, man, that's over my head, that one. Sorry, but that... But some bits in it, find another book that could help you understand it. And if you're a simpleton like me, it's great. There are other books that can help. But amazingly, it's the Lord's Spirit that can somehow just speak and bring clarity to His Word. I just want to read from chapter 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool. That verse there, the parched ground shall become a pool. That's just where the Lord put this little seed into my heart that I need to prepare something for this morning. This was weeks ago. But He just puts little seeds in there. It's the parched ground shall become a pool. I know it's speaking in a wonderful picture sense, but it's us here now, this morning, me. The parched ground can become a pool. There's a challenge. The thirsty land, springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Then a pause. Not that there's a pause there, but a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall there any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come singing. Come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It's an incredible chapter, and I've read the first part, and I'm into the second part. This little chapter comes in, and it brings life. It's water flowing. An amazing picture of the Lord coming. Incredible picture of the Lord coming. And He's coming again. It's almost a twofold thing. If my interpretation is wrong, then I'll put a disclaimer out. But it so speaks of the Lord coming. Also, it gives that wonderful picture that He is coming back again. This chapter, I think, is... it can speak to someone here this morning that doesn't believe in Jesus. I think it can speak to the person that's gone dry. I think it can speak to the person that has known the Lord for many years and is blessed and going through a fruitful time. It's threefold. For the one that's doing very well, and on that highway of holiness, it can speak that it will give you strength in your steps. It can strengthen your hands that are weary. To the unbeliever, your wilderness or your desert life can come like a pool of water. Amazing. I'm jumping the gun a little bit, sorry. Let me get back to my text. I was in a conversation the other week with someone, and we were talking about this person in love, and you don't know the person. Excuse me. And this person said to me, sorry, there's lots of persons. This person said, my friend is in a real dry stage, going through a real dry spell. And you know that we use this kind of language within the church, don't we? Oh, he's going through a dry spell or really struggle, or a season of something. This really provoked me, this chapter, that, and in my mind now I'm thinking of this person. Because of what the Lord has done on the cross, this pull can come so much into this woman's wilderness. And it's one of the thoughts that's really stuck with me. Just come with me into verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. This is in your Bible, in your margin, it will take you to Hebrews 12. And I was reading through Hebrews 12. And it talks about this kind of relationship with the Father and Son. And about the chastening of the Lord. If you want to turn there, let's turn now. So Hebrews 12. If you're someone that works, and we're made to work, aren't we? And I don't just mean the secular jobs, but we're to do the works of God, aren't we? He's prepared good works for us to walk in and to do. I actually work with my hands, which is great. I have to try and protect them when I'm playing football, because it's my livelihood. But he says here, strengthen the hands that are weary. Hebrews 12. Let me just read here from verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for a profit, but we may be partakers of the holiness. Let's just go down to verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. And just going back to chapter 35. I think that God wants things put in place in our lives before he almost sometimes comes in with that pool of water. And one of the things I thought about here was strengthening the weak hands and making firm the feeble knees. Before that happened, God had to chasten his people. And when I think of that word, there's almost a bit of a fear, like it's that harsh discipline where I won't act it out. I better not say it on this one, but it's the discipline of a father to a son, you know? You know? It's not just that. I was reading about it, and it's this training. It's graciousness, but firm. I love the thing of training, because it's not just an instant thing. It's that you're walking with the Lord. He's training us. And if you read through this whole chapter, it's an incredible walk that we can have and journey together with the Lord. It starts when he died at the cross and brought that water in. But after that, he now wants us to, he wants to chasten us and to walk with us. He wants to train us. And if we admit it and we're honest, he wants to take off, some rough edges. Myself, rough edges. Wonderful, isn't it? And the strength in the weak hands, I think that's the work of the Lord. He wants us to almost rise up. You know, do the things that he wants us to do. The next thing he says, make firm the feeble knees. And if you're someone that's suffered from multiple dislocated kneecaps, the knee is pretty weak. But the Lord, He brings us up and strengthens our knees. And I think about knees, I'm thinking of prayer. Knee work, as we used to correspond to a certain place. Knee work is prayer. And I think work and prayer. If there's something this morning that you can take, The Lord wants to, he wants us to do his work, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and he also wants us to pray. We've got a week of prayer, haven't we? In February, we've got a week of prayer. I think it's such a wonderful combination that we must carry on working for the Lord. We must carry on praying for many situations. Wonderful Lord. Be strong, do not fear. On Wednesday this week, I had a heavy cold and was spluttering around, and I was thinking, I'm going to have to email the elders to say, I don't know if I, and my voice was going. And I was going to email saying, I'm not sure if I can actually face you guys this morning. But wonderful, the Lord just, and I was in the kitchen, and I looked across, and we had some clothes that were drying on a dryer, and our youngest Ewan had a t-shirt which he got from Friday Club, and it said, be strong and courageous. Joshua. And you know the Lord does speak, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I could just neglect that and think, oh, great t-shirt, really good. Thanks for getting it done in Friday Club. But you know what, it spoke to me. I had to, there's something the Lord gives you to, you've got to raise up, you've got to rise up a little bit, you know? Strengthen. He tells us to humble ourselves, doesn't he? Something that he gives us that wonderful energy to do that, to strengthen the knees, for the hands to be, you know? Wonderful the Lord speaks. You still with me? If I see a face that's smiling with me, I apologise, but I kind of lock into that face. Because it really encourages. If it doesn't look like that, no offence, I'll still look at you. And wonderful. Be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God comes with vengeance, with a recompense of God. That's like a compensation for injury that's inflicted. Wonderful Lord. We live in a world where many are cheated with the thing of compensation. We live in a culture of it, don't we? This is rightful compensation that the Lord will bring. And it's to come. Wonderful Lord. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Just quickly go with me to Matthew chapter 11. This chapter here, right at the beginning, it's just when John is in prison. And I think if you're in prison, I think maybe there was a little bit of discouragement. I'm not sure it would be a great place to be. But here's an incredible confirmation to John about Jesus and the things that he was going to come and do. Verse 2, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to him, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? I love this. Jesus answered and said to him, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Wonderful, isn't it? Even then in Isaiah, it gives you that glimpse what the Lord was going to do. So powerful. I think John, when the messengers went back to John in the prison, I reckon it so spurred him on. We're not looking for another one, it's him. He's come. Wonderful Lord. And when you read this, I know the Lord came and touched the physical things in life, but for me, I think this speaks figuratively of spiritual things. Blindness, deaf, dumb. And that's why I think it's so apt to now. Where we are now. Wonderful. Oh Lord. Here's a great theme that comes in now. It's the water. Excuse me. For waters shall, I'm in verse 6. Just before I go on, something I noticed when I was reading them about the lame shall leap like a deer. He doesn't just heal that the lame just may walk. He almost goes to the way extreme that he won't just walk, he's going to leap like a deer. Exactly the same with the pools of water. It's not just going to be this small kind of thing that comes, it's going to be massive. It will go into the whole entirety of our lives. That wonderful fountain of love, water that flows out from the throne. For the water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. And when I thought about the devotional book, Streams in the Desert, and that's where she's got it from. And I was reading about that lady, and she is wonderful. The lady that wrote that, Letty Kalman, I think her name was, who wrote, incredible lady, missionary in Japan. And she wrote that book, Streams in the Desert. She had to return from Japan with her husband, whose health was deteriorating, he was fading away. And she wrote this book, Streams in the Desert, when her husband was dying. And she cared for him for 6 years. 6 years. Left the mission field and went home, cared for us. Wonderful. She wrote this, she wrote others as well. But an amazing woman. So humble. And she got her, it was from this chapter. So it's amazing that from the wilderness, from her very dry, arid place, she was able to write such wonderful truth and encouragement that I think I read that the publisher of that book said, oh, we'll publish 3,000 copies. That should be enough. We won't need any more. I think that will be it. 3,000 copies. I don't know how many. I tried looking for how many copies at Streams. So way much more. It's just like God. We have this kind of thought that, well, 3,000 copies, a small amount. But he multiplies it, brings an incredible abundance. Wonderful. Letty Kalman. Read about her. Wonderful. She's with the Lord now. No more wilderness. No more dry place. She's with him. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, the grass shall be reeds and rushes. My next bit, I haven't referred to any of my notes, which is terrible, but maybe that's a good thing. The highway. This is where I was thinking, I'm a picture man, so I was thinking the clue is in the name, highway. It's this thing that's high, and it's a way with a road. And I was thinking about the spiritual element of this highway. I don't know where you are this morning, but I think the highway's already started. I think it's there. I think we're walking on it. If you're one of the redeemed, being redeemed or redeemed, I'll get in trouble if I say the wrong word, won't I? But you know what I'm saying? I think the highway's there. And this morning, I'm walking with you. You're walking with me. But you know the one that walks on the highway and he's there? It's the Lord Jesus. Wonderful. And something I thought about was the safety on the highway. And I was thinking, if you're on that highway, it says here, whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Wonderful. If the sat-nav isn't working very well, and I often get lost still on the Wirral, because I'm used to the narrow lanes of Devon, where you go by certain trees, and you kind of, that's your, doesn't matter about your sat-nav, you're on this, and you can be a bit of a fool, but you're on this road. Wonderful. I love it on this road. I absolutely love it. I love walking side by side with ones that love the Lord Jesus. There's a lion that likes to roar. But I read somewhere, I always love it. He roars like a lion, but he's lost his teeth. That's a wonderful picture of victory of the Lord Jesus. He's taken it away. He's taken his teeth away. He wanted to sift Peter, didn't he? He asked the Lord for Peter, didn't he? So I can sift him. The devil likes to try and get into situations and people. He'll know what your weaknesses are, and he will whisper into your weakness. He will come alongside and try to speak in that. Oh, but the Lord's strong. Strong for us. God saves. That's what Isaiah's name means. God saves. Wonderful. Back to that road. Are you on that road this morning? Are you on that highway? Something I think about from the highway is that I know what's down there. Excuse me, it's the wickedness. It's the dirt. It's the grind. Oh Lord. You know, he's built that highway for us that we should walk on it. Wonderful. Nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Excuse me a minute, sorry. Verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Before I get to the end of this chapter, when I was thinking about the theme of water that is in this chapter, it took me to, of all places, the place that is the centrality of what we believe in. It's a cross. And I think it's the only place I was reading in the Gospels. It's in John 19. Just come with me to John 19. John 19. Just noticing in verse 28 when the Lord said those two words, I thirst. We've been encouraged this morning that we should just come and say, first of all, just come. But the Lord on the cross said, I thirst. Then carrying on down, it says, verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And when he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. No one of his bones shall be broken. And I'll go on in a minute, but there's something there. I was thinking about this theme of water. And reading through Isaiah as a whole, there had to be a wonderful sacrifice. And it was Jesus at the cross. And at the cross you have the thing, and we've remembered the Lord this morning with the blood that was shed. And it just spoke to me about the spear that went in the side of the Lord. And one of the things, I don't know if I recommend that you do it, but I was reading about what would have happened to the Lord on the cross. The physicality of it. And how he went. Some would say it was through asphyxiation. That's the one. Sorry. I've got mine. But we've heard it. Julie's not here this morning. She may be. But of a broken heart, she said. And it's the thing where the heartbeat was just going so. And there's another name for that. There was a doctor here, I could ask him. But sorry, mate. But it just spoke to me of the water and the blood. When that spear went in, it was just a wonderful picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. It was done, finished. I think we've sung it this morning. But the blood, picture of sacrifice and the water, when that came out, they knew that it was finished, he died. And I think if ever your wilderness or your parched ground can become like a pool, it's only because of the wonderful work on the cross. It was that sign that the Lord had gone. It's dead, it's finished. The blood, the sacrifice, the water was done, poured out for us. I know it's a link, but it just spoke to me. In your quiet times with the Lord, it's wonderful. You can just sit and he can speak a little word and wonderful. Blood and the water. Oh Lord. Another place I was thinking about was in, we won't turn to it, but the man that was born blind. And they were asking, was it the sin of this man or his parents? And it goes into this almost this dialogue of them basically not just asking the guy who's been healed, how did it happen? And they finally did. Do you know what I mean? It's almost a, wow. But it's wonderful that the Lord picked up some stuff on the ground, the mud, and then spat, and then he used it, and he put it on the man's eyes. And I thought, wonderful, but that could have just done it then. That would have been it. But actually, he instructed the man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And that means sent. And I thought, wow, incredible that he's actually under the instruction of the Lord Jesus. He went and sent him, and it was in the washing, and then he could see. And I thought, again, wonderful thing of water coming in, that just, he used it to cleanse purity, and one of the things that I said earlier on about being stagnant, he would have just got the water, I'm sure, and he just would have, and to imagine his amazement of being able to see, it was just incredible. And then they didn't believe, you know, the Pharisees, they were kind of asking these questions, and then the Lord did it on the Sabbath, so that added another. But the incredible thing is he just simply said, well, basically, this man Jesus came and he did this. I washed my, and now I can see. So simple, wonderful. Just speaks of just great simplicity that the Lord wants to do that. And I think he still wants to do that today. To those that cannot see spiritually, to those that are deaf, to those where their ears are totally, but he still wants to do it today, this morning even. I'm so glad that I think I was 18 and 19 years old, I think it was, when I was due to go and play a football match. And whether I had some sort of problem, I probably did actually, I was always injured, but I decided not to go to that and play that. And I went to a tent mission, and I heard someone just say something very simple. And I said, yes, Lord, yes. So simple. Yes, Lord. That day the wilderness became a pool. Wonderful Saviour. And I thought about you all this morning. I was just praying, thinking, there's some here this morning that may not believe the Lord. There's some that may have believed in him for 50 years. But there's nothing wrong with admission that sometimes there's a dryness that comes in. And if I can just say this morning, if you can just revisit the wonderful work on the cross, the pool will come back in. The water will just come streaming back into your life. Wonderful Lord. Excuse me. Let's just go to Revelation Chapter 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. Wonderful Lord. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. You know, the biggest hindrance about coming to the Lord is often ourselves. For me, men, I find that pride can be the thing. Being quite honest. Maybe losing face with people. But I think it should be just this daily thing. Coming to him that will provide that wonderful water. That in and goes out. Simple. Wonderful Lord. I thought about the, back to 35. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. See, I believe that this can be, I believe the journey is now, if we're on that wonderful highway that the Lord has made, I think he can see the joy in our hearts. It's one of the things of, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is joy. It says that. And one word right near the end I was thinking about, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And I thought about sighing. You know, I haven't heard any this morning, but there may well have been a few sighs. I don't know. But it's actually not a very nice thing, is it? When you I've sometimes heard people when they're either speaking or praying, sometimes I can hear a sigh, and something inside me always goes, "Oh no," because that would make me feel really, you know. But I don't think it's that kind of sighing, by the way. I think it's a sighing that is now free from the heartache, war, sin that we heard about earlier on this morning, that so ensnares. It's that sighing that, oh, my Saviour's here. And I read somewhere that on this highway, Jesus walks on it. It's speaking like in a picture sense, but I love that. And there'll be a day when he comes down and he'll gather up those that have been scattered from many areas of the nations, from all across. Wonderful. He's wonderful. This morning, if he strengthened your hands and your knees, he wants us to keep on working for him. Doing those lovely kindness things that we do to people amongst here, but also those that don't know the Lord. Saviour. No more sighing. Just one incredible thing about Isaiah is that he had a brilliant, amazing experience of God in a temple. And it transformed his whole life. Remember his lips, he said they were uncircumcised, they were unclean, and God came with those hot coals. And from that, something he just, incredible, over 40 years, this prophetic message that went out, and incredible character. And I've lost my train of thought. But he was told this. He was told before that it doesn't matter who you speak to, they will become deaf and deafer. And I thought, what an amazing guy, that if you were told before you were going to speak to certain people in a nation that they won't hear, you just feel defeated. Absolutely defeated. And I thought this morning, someone had whispered to me before I stood up and said, doesn't matter what you say this morning, they're going to be looking out the window, they'll be sighing, they won't hear what you're saying. I'd feel defeated. But the Lord's so amazing. He'd still push through. He's such a through God. I've heard that here said before. He's a real through God. And I thought, even this morning, I thought, well, you can share your heart. I've shared my heart. Wonderful Lord. Spoke so much through Isaiah. And this is still relevant for today. Wonderful, Lord. I feel like responding myself. But I think in the preparation, and you just place yourself in your... the Lord loves it. And it's still relevant for now. If you can identify what your wilderness is, and it says about your wastelands, if you can identify that, that's a great start. Something in my life that is not right. I need to put it right. Maybe it's with a brother. You've fallen out. Maybe it's within a relationship or marriage. I think if you can identify that, which the Lord does put things in your heart, you can then say, oh Lord, Lord, in this part, my wasteland, you can come in and pour in that wonderful water. And this morning I come in weakness to say, Lord, would you come pour in again? For those that I work with, whose lives are arid, uncultivated, unlivable, my heart is for them, that this wonderful gospel may come in and the Lord's life will pour in that incredible. If not, you become like the Dead Sea, which has no outlets at all. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. You won't find any life in it, full of salt. Whereas the Sea of Galilee, River Jordan going through it, streams come out, you've got wildlife everywhere, fish teeming with life. And I think, great picture for us, isn't it? You know, I don't want to be the Dead Sea. I want to be that Sea of Galilee where the Lord's love flows in and through. I'll finish now. My time. Well, I don't know if I find in your heart this morning those two words the Lord said, I thirst. He said it. The one who provided this wonderful pool. If you want to say this morning, I say in my heart, Lord, I thirst. I want more of you. I want to go deeper into the depths, knowledge of him. If you do, I encourage you just tell him. Not be so concerned about the person that's sat next to you, but just you and the Lord, just say, I thirst. I want more.